Looks like today we are turning to the book of Romans in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 13. We actually spent some time there a few months ago, and we're going to go back there to read a few more verses, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 of Romans chapter 13. So I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these first five verses, which will kick us off into the message for the remainder of the morning here. Starting with verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we meditate on these five verses here from this book of Romans, teach us a lesson here this morning about our governing authorities and our position as Christians within that government. Father, change hearts, change minds, change whatever you need to change here this morning, but most of all, make us grow in your word, so that we can learn a little bit more about you and become a little bit more of what Christ wants us to become as his followers. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is week number 17. Week number 17 in our ongoing sermon series on the Ten Commandments. When somebody asked me to do this many, many months ago, I said this. I knew it was going to be a long series, but I also knew this, that the lessons that we were all going to learn were going to be very, very practical. Granted, I like to be very much on the theological side, but a lot of these lessons are very practical, practical learning. And it's good that we are going through these things, because I know a lot of things in my mind have been changed just from what I have been learning. But we are in the Sixth Commandment, and this is our second week talking about the Sixth Commandment. The Sixth Commandment, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, is this: you shall not murder. You shall not murder. The commandment is not, you shall not kill. The commandment is, you shall not murder. And there is a difference between those two words, to murder and to kill. Killing, as we defined it 2 weeks ago, is putting a person to death for a justifiable reason. And murder is the crime of unlawfully taking the life of another human being. One of the things that I think needs to happen more often in churches is that there are issues that need to be addressed from the pulpit, and many, many churches just never touch those things. Have you ever heard the expression, the elephant in the room? Have you ever heard that expression? There's an elephant in the room. And what they mean by that there's this issue that's so large and it's in the room, but nobody wants to do what? Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I think there are three issues, well, there's many issues that go on that the church, we need to talk about, because the elephant is in the room and it needs to be addressed. And we're going to talk about those three issues, one today and two over the next two Sundays. Today, we're going to talk about capital punishment. Next week, we're going to talk about war. And the week after that, we're going to talk about self-defense. And we're going to talk about all three of these issues from a biblical perspective, because after all, that is the only perspective that we should be going by. I believe, we're going to talk about capital punishment here today. I believe one of the biggest differences between the word kill and the word murder is the word justifiable. Is the taking of the life of a particular human being, is it justifiable? So is it killing a person or is it murdering a person? And that's what we need to discuss here this morning. And then we need to ask the question, who defines if the taking of a life is justifiable or if it is not? If we go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the flood had just occurred, the waters had receded, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, and all the animals had been turned loose. And in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God says this to Noah, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So we know this, that we asked earlier, who defines what is justifiable? We know this, God defines what is justifiable. He just defined it there in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood will be shed. And then we talked about 2 weeks ago, the Mosaic Law. There were certain offenses that you could commit as living in the Israelite community, that if you did these and they were witnessed by two or three witnesses and it was all verified, you could be put to death for doing these particular sins, these particular offenses. And I'm going to read them off to you again here this morning. They were this. If you, any of these were the penalty would be death, the death penalty, capital punishment. If you murdered somebody, if you would strike or curse a parent, kidnapping, child sacrifice, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, dabbling in the occult, worshiping false gods, or if you were a false prophet. If you were found guilty of offending or breaking any of these commands here, the penalty, the punishment was capital punishment. You would be put to death. And this was all authorized by God. So it was justifiable by the Creator God. And we all know this. There is no higher judge than God himself. And he said this for one reason. Actually, probably many reasons. But he did say this. You need, Israelites, you need to purge the evil from among you. Because evil has a tendency to do what? It spreads. It's contagious. Get the evil from among you. And he wanted the nation Israel to be a model nation so that when other people looked at them, there was something that other nations liked about this nation Israel. So they had a mission to that they needed to be on there. And we must remember this. Well, is God justified in doing this, in coming up with capital punishment as the punishment for these offenses? Deuteronomy 32:4. I'll repeat it from 2 weeks ago. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. How dare any one of us or anybody doubting the word of God and what he says? So what we had with the nation Israel, and we got to think about this. We have a perfect God who's creating and designing this, I won't say perfect nation, but it was a nation that he designed so you know it was going to be as perfect as can be. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel is going to be run by imperfect people. A perfect God designing a perfect nation with perfect laws but it's run by imperfect people. And when you have that, there's always the possibility for corruption and things just not going right. So that's a lot of the Old Testament. What about today? What about today? Is capital punishment right today? Should we have it? Should we not have it? I'm going to share a story with you. And the story goes like this. I guess it's story time with Pastor Mike. Gail and I have, we don't watch much TV, but we do have something called Netflix. Now, I don't know if any of you might have Netflix or not, but we have Netflix. Actually, for $8 a month or whatever we pay, it's probably worth it. Some good stuff on there. It was Memorial Day, so about a month or so ago, and Gail and I were off from work, and we had done all of our chores and done whatever we were going to do, and it was mid-afternoon, and Gail said, let's watch something on TV, and I said, let's turn on Netflix. So we turned on Netflix, and we were going through all the different shows that we could watch, movies, and we found this one, and there's always a little description underneath it as to what the movie or the show's about. And this one caught my eye. And the name of the, actually it was a series. And the name of the series was called The Keepers. The Keepers. And underneath it, it gave a synopsis of what the show was about. And it was about the murder of a Catholic nun. And I said, I gotta watch that. Who would want to kill or murder a Catholic nun? I gotta see what the story is behind this. Well, I went in and I clicked, I wanna watch it. Found out that it was 7 one-hour episodes. And I said, okay, I'll watch the first episode, and if it draws my attention, I'll finish watching the rest of them. Well, I watched 4 episodes that afternoon. It drew my attention. Let me tell you a little bit about it, but I'm not going to give it all away in case you have Netflix or in case you may want to watch it. But it was about the death and murder of Sister Catherine, who was a nun teaching at an all-girls school in Baltimore, Maryland. An all-girls school, and what happened was this. In this all-girls school were 2 priests. Within that school, and this is the late 1960s, this is November of 1969, these 2 priests, you know where I'm going with this, they are having their way with the young female students. They are calling them into, the one priest would call them into his office and sexually abuse these young ladies, these innocent young ladies. Sister Catherine, she found out that this was happening. And she was not going to let it go on anymore. Well, it just so happened that these priests had connections. One thing led to another, and Sister Catherine was going to be silenced once and for all. Sister Catherine found out that she couldn't go to the policeman because the priest were inviting the policeman into the office to partake in the sexual abuse that was going on. Sister Catherine was murdered so she would be silenced, and nothing was ever said. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but I'll tell you a little bit more because I have to get to the point here about capital punishment. About 50 young ladies were abused by these 2 priests in a matter of a couple years, and it was all covered up. By the school, by the church, by the police. How sad. About 24 years later, in 1994, the one lady who's pretty much telling her story, She must have suppressed all these memories for all these years. And in the meantime, she had gotten married. She had two children, was leading a pretty normal life. Until one day, somebody comes up to her and asks, "Hey, our school's having a reunion. Do you want to go back?" And for some reason, all these memories of all this abuse start coming back. She ended up telling her husband. She told her family because she wanted to bring these priests to justice. She told her husband, and her husband, after a few weeks of this, was planning and plotting to do what? To murder the priest. He was going to get revenge for what that priest had done to his wife when she was an innocent 16, 17, 18-year-old girl. And his wife, who in the movie and in the series goes by the name of Jane Doe, Jane Doe tells him, "Don't do that. That's not what we do. That's not how we handle it. We'll go through the system and let the system take care of it." But I'm watching the series, and I'm really getting involved with this. And when they show these young ladies, and they're on this behind the camera, and they're crying, and I'm crying right along with them because I can feel their pain. And when the dad says, "I wanted to take out the life of this priest who did this," I was right there with him. I said, "Yes," because all along I'm saying, I'm telling my wife when we're watching this, I said, "You know what? If I was that husband, I'd want to kill that guy." Oh, I'm sorry, wrong word. I would want to murder that guy. Or wait a second, maybe it is justifiable for what that man did to my wife 24 years ago. This is justifiable in my eyes. I'm going to find that priest and I'm going to take his life because of what he did. I'll tell you, if you have Netflix, I recommend you watching it. It gets you fired up. It really gets you fired up. Was the husband justified in saying what he said? Would he have been justified, the difference between killing and murdering, and getting even with what this priest had done to his wife many years ago and approximately 50 other young ladies? Well, let me answer that for you. It's going to take me a little while to answer. Let's stop right there and kind of rewind a little bit. Let's get back to the time of Jesus. And in the time of Jesus, we know this, that a few years after the death of Jesus on the cross in 70 AD, the nation Israel ceased to be a nation. It was overtaken by the Romans, the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, and now there is no more Israel. There is no more law. There's no more Mosaic law. There's no more penalties, death penalties as prescribed by the law of God. So all that has gone. So then the question now has to become this. Now who makes the laws? Who makes the laws that say that this crime deserves capital punishment? We know that God spoke for the Old Testament and for the nation Israel, but who's making up the laws now? Who's to say that if this happens, this person be put to death, or if this happens, this person can go free, or whatever the case may be? Who makes those up? And we find our answers, my friends, right here in chapter 13 of the book of Romans. And it says this: "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, because there is no authority except that which God has established." And he says it again. The authorities that exist have been established by God. If we look at our situation here in the great country of the United States of America, the governing authorities, this thing called government, has been established by God. Which leads us to our first and one and only fill in the blank. The New Covenant Scriptures tell us that our governing officials, no matter what country you're in, are an extension of the arm of God. They are an extension of the arm of God. The nation Israel no longer exists. So Romans 13 picks up on that. And now it says this, that the government has been put into place by God. It's an extension of the arm of God. So who makes up the rules now as to what falls under capital punishment or who doesn't? And the answer to that ought to be obvious. The country in which you live. What do they say? What are their rules? If they say that this crime results in this as capital punishment, then they make the rules. They make the laws. And what do we need to do as Christians? We need to be what? Ooh, the S word. Nobody likes to hear the S word. We need to submit to what our governing authorities say. We need to be submissive to what the governing authorities say. So in the United States of America, whatever the laws say, that's what we need to submit to. Now, granted, you might say, well, Mike, I'm either for or against the death penalty, whatever it is, and that's not an issue that we're going to discuss here today. I will say this. We are fortunate to live in the United States of America because I guarantee 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul wrote this, that the government then was a whole lot worse than what it is today. Did you know that out of every four people that walked on the face of the earth as part of the Roman government, three out of every four, 75% of the people were slaves? We live in a little bit better society today. We live in this country called the United States of America, and it is a democracy. So if we say, well, I don't agree with the death penalty, or the other extreme, which says, I think there ought to be more death penalty, we live in a great country that we can do what? We have the opportunity to what? To vote. It's a country by the people that we live in. So if we don't like the laws, we can take every opportunity to change them, whichever way we see fit. There are some countries that you live in, you don't have that opportunity to do that. And we are fortunate that we live here in the United States where we can. But when it comes to capital punishment, who determines that? In Romans 13, verses 1 through 5, very clearly says this. It's up to the government in which you live. Is God for capital punishment? We know that. I would answer that and say, yes, he is, because he said so in the Old Testament. It's just that he has extended his arm, and he leaves that up to the governing officials right now, whoever they may be. But I believe God is still saying this. You must purge the evil from among you. You must purge the evil from among you. Let me get back to that story about this little miniseries called The Keepers. The Keepers. The husband wanted to take the life of the priest, of the man who abused his wife many, many years ago. Would that be justified? Let me read Romans 12. Sometimes in our Bibles there are chapter divisions, and sometimes they just don't happen at a very good place. Let me read the end of Romans chapter 12, starting at verse number 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then immediately after that, it starts into chapter 13. I would not have wanted to walk in the shoes of Jane Doe or any of those other young ladies who were abused by those men. And I don't even want to call them that. But Jane Doe says the right thing. She tells her husband, "Honey, don't do it. Don't take the life of that man. Let's go through the system, and let's let the system take care of it. And that is exactly what the Word of God tells us to do. But I'll be honest with you. I know she said the right thing. But boy, was there a part of me just wanted to look this guy up to see if he was still alive, because there's a part of me just wanted to take him out myself and just say, Lord, just forgive me this one time. But it's the human condition, isn't it? It's the human condition. The human condition wants revenge. We do. We want to get even. You did that to my spouse, my wife, my husband. I am going to get back at you, and it's going to be worse. And that's exactly what this husband wanted to do. But unfortunately, the Word of God tells us we can't do that. We have to let revenge into the hands of the Lord, and revenge is in the hands of our governing authorities, and that's where it needs to be taken. And that's difficult to do, because I believe we all like a little bit of vigilante, don't we? We all like those people who take the law into their own hands and want to go on out there and clean up crime, regardless if the policemen are out there or what anybody else says. You know, that person that's just on out there just saying, I'll do it my way. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us we can't do it that way. The Word of God tells us that we need to take it in the direction of our governing authorities. Well, in the program, the keepers, these people, these ladies who are now much older, they took everything into the governing authorities. And I'm not going to tell you what happened from there, because you just might want to go watch it. So I'm not going to give away, the rest of the story. But the man did not go on out and kill the priest. I'll tell you that much. I'm going to end with this. What if the capital punishment rules were still applied today? If the Mosaic Law was still applied? I'm going to compare with what was considered a crime worthy of capital punishment in the days of the Israelites, compared to how we look at it today in the United States of America. I'm going to go through that same list real quickly. First one was murder. Okay, death penalty then. Well, there's still the possibility of the death penalty today. There is, unless you get yourself a good lawyer, and everyone knows the whole world is run by lawyers. So murder, still possibility of a death penalty. Strike or curse your parent. That was worthy of capital punishment then. Today, we just call that a dysfunctional family, and we put them on TV and call them the Kardashians. Kidnapping. Well, kidnapping is probably still good. If somebody kidnaps, they'll probably find themselves some jail time. So that one hasn't changed too much. Child sacrifice, I don't think we hear too much about that today. So if you would kill a young child, I'm sure there's still the possibility of the death penalty. Adultery, the death penalty. Adultery today. Well, there's websites that you can go to now, ashleymadison.com, where you can discreetly have an adulterous affair and your spouse will never know about it. So let's make it very popular. Let's make it a popular thing to do. Let's even create daytime shows on TV called soap operas, which really exploit this thing called adultery. And you're going to be rooting for that person to, yeah, go ahead. You don't like that husband anyways, do you? We look at things a little bit differently, as we do homosexuality. Back then, death penalty. Today, let's dress up in our rainbow colors and go march down the middle of the street in pride for what we are. We're not different. This is the way God made us. And for those of us who want to speak against homosexuality, for people like myself, people like you, it's now a hate crime for us to say that. When it had the death penalty, bestiality. I don't even know if I want to touch this one or not. With the corruption of American society, I think this is going to become something that's going to become probably more popular and more commonplace as the years go by, and that's all I'm going to say. Dabbling in the occult. Today it's called New Age. Today it's called witchcraft. Today it's called Wicca. Today it's called reading your horoscope. Today it's called going to go see a palm reader. Today it's called go see a fortune teller, which all we should not do, but now go to the local corner and get your palm read, get your fortune told. God said, no, you don't dabble in that kind of stuff. How about worshiping false gods? This one was a little difficult for me. There's only two more left. Worshiping false gods. Help me out here. Isn't the foundation of America religious freedom? Where I can come into this country and worship whatever God I want? Isn't that the foundation for America? Religious freedom, right? I can go to this country called the United States of America, worship the true God. I can worship this other God. I can worship this God. I can worship this God, and I can worship this God. So we really couldn't persecute anybody or put anybody to death for worshiping false gods, because that's what America is all about. Religious freedom, is it not? And the last one, false prophets. If you make a prophecy and it doesn't come true, you would be put to death. What I'm about to say, I say in jest. Boy, I wish this one was still true. And you know why? It would get rid of like 90% of the corruption inside the church. Because you have men and women standing in pulpits who are given prophecies. They prophesy this and they prophesy that and they prophesy this. And to their own admission, only 35% of these prophecies ever come true. I say take them out back and stone them. That's what I say. The church doesn't need this kind of stuff in the church. But maybe that's just me. Why all this? Why capital punishment? To purge the evil from among you. Bad behavior is contagious. And you got to rid it from the community. I'm not going to tell you which way America needs to go. I have my own personal thoughts on it. Personally, I like God's way. But we submit ourselves, do we not, to our governing authorities as to what they say about capital punishment. Because that's what we do. That's what Jane Doe told her husband to do, and she was right. And to me, that was probably one of the most evil things that could have ever happened to a young, innocent girl and girls. And yes, we'd want revenge. But that's not the path that we take. We go through our government. Capital punishment. Next Sunday, we're going to take a closer look at what the New Covenant says about war. And then the week after, we'll look at self-defense. Let's go to God in prayer.